Wednesday, May 27, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I hope your week is going well and that you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and healthy right now. And yes, we are back to more of a regular format this week. After a few weeks of like no current sports stories, we had a best of week and we had an interview last week with author Todd Smith, and I took some much needed vacation time. But speaking of Memorial Day weekend, I know we don't talk a ton about auto racing here on The Dose, but on Sunday, if you tuned in for the 2026 Indianapolis 500 and that night, the NASCAR Charlotte 600, hey, I'll just say it, you definitely got your money's worth. Now, that might not mean much to people who don't follow auto racing at all, but this past weekend, hey, it was a little bit heavier. If you missed it, last Thursday, veteran NASCAR driver Kyle Busch tragically passed away from severe pneumonia at the age of 41. And I mean, his death caught everyone by surprise, as he had actually just won a truck series race at Dover just a little over a week ago, and then finished in eighth place at Watkins Glen in the NASCAR Cup Series. However, they say when he finished at Watkins Glen, Busch actually radioed his crew near the end of the race, asking a doctor to give him a shot as he finished the race. Now, according to the television broadcast, Busch had been struggling with a sinus cold, and then that ended up being exacerbated by the intense G-forces and elevation changes at that New York road course. They say Kyle Busch was actually coughing up blood, and then his body progressed into sepsis. Well, the television ratings have not been great this year. But first up on Sunday, we had the 2026 Indy 500, and that race was absolutely phenomenal. The race set a record for most lead changes with 70. It just kept flipping. And at the finish, Swedish driver Felix Rosenqvist beat out David Malukas by an eyelash, recording the closest win in race history with a 0.023 second margin of victory. Now, you might hear that and think, big deal, it's race cars, who cares? But Indy's different. I mean, I want you to think about this for one second. The largest stadium in the United States is at the University of Michigan, and that holds around 107,000. They'll pack it full. They'll have some standing room only areas available, and they'll get up to around 110,000. Hey, huge, right? The biggest stadium on the planet is in North Korea, and they say that actually holds over 130,000 people. Massive stadium. Yeah, that's cute. On Sunday, the 2026 Indianapolis 500 had over 350,000 people standing up and screaming at once on that final lap. Hey, that, my friends, is why Indianapolis is the greatest spectacle on the planet. And then later that night, it wasn't quite as good of a race, but Daniel Suarez won the Coca-Cola 600. It was shortened by rain, which kind of muted it a little bit, but it was still a highly competitive, very exciting race that would have made Kyle Busch very proud, I think. A horrible tragedy followed by two highly entertaining races took place this Memorial weekend. Hey, today on The Dose, like I said, we have been seeing some wild things taking place in the world of sports over the last week or so, but we haven't got a chance to comment on them, and you just know we're going to. We've got to address a few of those stories today. But let's start off in those NBA playoffs. Kids, the NBA, I'm just going to say it, they've got some problems. TV ratings are not great, no matter what they keep trying to spin. They keep acting like, well, these are the best ratings we've had in the last 5 years. Yeah, the last 5 years have been the worst ever, so slow down on that. But here's the problem. Players hate playing. It has become a foul-baiting, boring, lazy game that is not fun for fans to watch. Want more evidence? Check this out. The NBA, for their playoff crew, hired Carmelo Anthony, Tracy McGrady, and Vince Carter to host their TV panel and tell us what it takes to win postseason games. Think about that for just 1 minute. Carmelo Anthony, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter winning in the postseason. Yeah, let's just fast forward past that. Over in the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks have been absolutely dominant. They are headed back to the NBA Finals. Check this out. Game one in the conference finals, the Knicks actually trailed the Cleveland Cavaliers 93-71 about midway through the fourth quarter. They made an insane comeback. They win the game in overtime. But since trailing the Cavs by 22 in the fourth quarter in game one, the Knicks outscored Cleveland by nearly 100 points. Literally, 404-305. Now, has this been good Knicks or has this been bad Cavs? Because wow, do the Cavaliers hate each other so much. They want to murder each other. James Harden, he might hold the title of being the least clutch postseason player in the history of like ever. But I will say this, if you wanted a prime situation for LeBron James to return majestically to his hometown, hey, this is it. They completely collapsed. They look like they're going to be just in trash it mode. Hey, LeBron, go save your hometown team. Now, could that actually happen this offseason? I mean, the East would be a way easier path for LeBron. We know he likes that simple path, but I'm not sure I buy it. Look, LeBron thinks he's a Hollywood guy. And let's not forget this. He would have to take a pay cut to go there. So I don't know that I really see that happening. Either way, the New York Knicks, hey, they are playing very well. Point guard Jalen Brunson is just about as clutch as James Harden is not. But remember one thing, and I know this is kind of getting lost, and everyone's shocked the Knicks are there. Everyone's surprised the Knicks are there. I can't believe the Knicks are there. Shouldn't the Knicks be there? I mean, the Knicks should be there, right? They did go to the conference finals last year, came up just a little short, and the team that beat them is now hobbled with injuries. The Knicks are kind of supposed to be here. I know that's odd to say, but it is actually true. Now, can they keep playing that well when they get to the NBA Finals? I want to wait and see on that. But either way, the Knicks should be well rested because over in the West, the San Antonio Spurs and Oklahoma City Thunder are in a knockdown, drag out series. Tied 2-2, they played a huge game five last night with the Thunder coming out on top at home. But either way, is this series over? Hardly. Hey, both teams are now a little bit banged up, but no one gives the Thunder problems quite like the Spurs. Also, brief side note. I know the Oklahoma City Thunder get every single call from NBA officials. And while everyone gets mad at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for all his flopping, let's be real clear about one thing. Get mad at the NBA. Get mad at the officiating because they're the ones calling it. He just knows they're dumb enough to call it. I can't really blame him. My only problem with SGA is he's really tough for me to watch. That's painful. Having said that, the league needs the Spurs to win this series. If we get an Oklahoma City Thunder versus New York Knicks NBA Finals, I don't think anybody's going to watch it because no one wants to watch the Thunder. They are horrible to watch. If the Spurs make it, at least Victor Wembanyama would bring some excitement to play the Knicks. If it's the Thunder, I don't know. I think they might tank those ratings yet again. Let's move over to the NHL, where my Colorado Avalanche have melted down in historic fashion. And the President's Trophy curse, oh, it's alive and well. The Avalanche claimed that President's Trophy with the best regular season record, but after beating the LA Kings and then the Minnesota Wild, they have been absolutely taken to the woodshed by the Vegas Golden Knights. Hey, Vegas has outclassed them in all phases. And now I have to wonder if Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar could be in some trouble. And I know that sounds insane because they did just post the best record in the league in the regular season. But this roster was built to win a title. And the Avalanche are underachieving in a huge, huge way. I'm not going to say never. We've seen it happen before. Jared Bednar should probably sleep with one eye open. Over in the Eastern Conference, the Carolina Hurricanes are now 5-0 in overtime this postseason. And get this, all five wins have come by a 3-2 score. The Hurricanes are the first team in NHL playoff history to win five consecutive overtime games in a single postseason by the same score. Absolutely insane. They just keep finding ways to win those overtime games. The Hurricanes took a 2-1 lead on Monday night in game three against the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know. I'm not going to count Montreal out. I think they could still get a win at home, and I think this might be headed to a game seven, and it will be anybody's guess as to who's going to come out on top and face Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals. Okay, so like I said, we've had a couple weeks now. We're here at the Dose. We had a best of. We talked to an author last week. That was phenomenal, actually. Really enjoyed that interview there. But we haven't talked a lot of like current events here on the Dose in a few weeks. And I wanted to make sure that we did do that a little bit. And let's start off in Major League Baseball. What? Ease up. Lift your jaw up off the table. I know we haven't talked much Major League Baseball just yet this season, but we are now around 50 games into that 432 game season or whatever it is. And to be honest, we're seeing some really odd things. Now, the question at this point, as usual, is how much of any of this do we actually believe? I personally am of the belief I don't believe anything until we get to the 4th of July. And then things start to look more realistic. Because right now, oh, we're seeing some crazy things. The Tampa Bay Rays lead the American League East. Not the Yankees, not the Blue Jays, not even the Orioles, the Rays. Now, they do seem to do this every few years, even though they never spend any money. So it's a surprise, but it's not that big of a surprise. The Cleveland Guardians are on top of the AL Central, despite barely spending any money on their payroll. I think they rank maybe like 28th in payroll. They're not spending a dime. That actually also isn't that much of a surprise. But what did surprise me is that the Detroit Tigers are at the bottom of the standings in that division. Actually, that whole division is a mess. They're all barely around 500. The AL Central is an absolute disaster. In the AL West, you're not going to believe this if you haven't been paying attention, but the Oakland A's are somehow on top. Despite the fact, I think they're actually trying to lose. Do you realize that the Oakland A's are currently playing their games in Sacramento? And yet, the Sacramento A's, or whatever you want to call them, are ahead of the Mariners, they're ahead of the Rangers, and they're ahead of the Astros. What in the world is going on in the AL West? This will all change, right? I think it will, but we'll see. Over in the National League, the Atlanta Braves are on top of the East. No surprise there. However, the New York Mets are once again underachieving and sitting in last place. Please remember, while we look at like the Cleveland Guardians, who are barely spending money, the Tampa Bay Rays, spending no money. Do you realize that for all of the grief that the Los Angeles Dodgers take, and they deserve it because they spend money like crazy, the New York Mets are actually spending more money than the Dodgers on their payroll, and yet they have nothing, nothing whatsoever to show for it. The Milwaukee Brewers are on top of the NL Central again, and of course, the LA Dodgers are on top of the NL West, but I want to see if these standings are going to hold up. Because I have a feeling they're not. Right now, early in the season, yeah, Major League Baseball is absolutely drunk. Let's move over to the NFL. And I'm going to say something. It's going to make me a little bit sad, but it's going to give me hope. Because NFL training camps will be opening in another 6 weeks, and it can't come soon enough. However, we did get some NFL news that we haven't touched on quite yet. Last week, the NFL eliminated a rule that allowed teams to protect two of their home games from international play. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the league now has the scheduling flexibility to send any team's home matchup to a different country. Look, I realize the NFL just prints money and they can charge whatever they want and they can pretty much do whatever they want and we just soak it all up. I'm just going to say this, though. Be careful, NFL. Be careful sending games overseas. Be careful catering to everyone around the world. Because here's the thing. The rest of the world doesn't care nearly as much as we do. Don't forget about your fans sitting here at home. And don't think this can't dry up if you stop taking care of those fans. Because it can. I know that sounds crazy, but go ahead and ask the NBA. Can it dry up? Yeah, it can. The NFL also announced that the city of Nashville, Tennessee is going to be hosting a Super Bowl. Yeah, that new stadium has been built. It actually looks pretty impressive. And they say that the Super Bowl will be held there following the 2030 season. I believe that would be Super Bowl 62. Now, I don't have any inside information. I haven't heard this, but I'm assuming that Kid Rock will host that halftime show. I don't know. And I'm just hoping, honestly, that the seats in that new stadium, and I'm just hoping they're going to be wide enough to hold the patrons that are going to be sitting in them from Nashville, eating all that barbecue. You know what I mean? One last bit of news to come out of the NFL. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has emerged from his ayahuasca tent and announced that this is going to be his final season.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
I know. Stop cheering. Put your flag down. Last season, Aaron Rodgers ranked, well, right around 15th overall in most every single quarterback rating. Aaron Rodgers was very middle of the pack. Not great. Not horrible. But that Pittsburgh offense was kind of horrible to watch. But this season, remember, that should be different. Because this season, Aaron Rodgers is going to be reunited with his former Packers head coach, Mike McCarthy, with whom he did win that lone Super Bowl back in 2010. Hey, maybe they're going to bring back that magic. Can Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers do it again 16 years later? No, probably not. But the Steelers faithful, hey, they're going to tell themselves that it's possible. Because honestly, when you look at that organization right now, Mike Tomlin is gone. What else do you even have? Hey, remember that you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to check out what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to new articles, although I haven't written one in a couple weeks because I've been on vacation. We also have links to Daily Dose gear. Maybe you need a t-shirt. Maybe you need a sweatshirt. Maybe you need a hoodie. Maybe you need a baseball cap. Be sure that you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out what we have going on over there. Also, remember, you can email the podcast. We do hear regularly from some very interesting listeners. You can email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. It is always good to hear from you. Feel free to drop us a line. If you send us something good, we just might end up using it here on the podcast. Let's move over to some college sports and a few stories coming out of college sports that we have to make sure to touch on, because the college football offseason's biggest stories, they usually refer to like the transfer portal, what coaches are changing, who's moving and going where, and then just kind of the layout of the coming season schedule. And never fear, in due time, we will address all those things. I don't want to talk about them just yet because it's going to make me sad. But eventually, we'll get to those things. However, this year, the college football offseason, yeah, it's had a bit of a plot twist, I guess you'd say. Because after the NCAA Division I Football Bowl Subdivision Oversight Committee, held in March, adopted what the special teams community has called a drastic rule change, the measure restricts player movement for two adjacent linemen on either side of the snapper on punts. I know it kind of sounds odd, but apparently this is getting big pushback from coaches in college football. However, those objections didn't stop the NCAA Football Rules Subcommittee. They are upholding that change, which was announced last week. And a person with knowledge of the vote came out and said, yeah, they made that change permanent. So now there's going to be very strict rules on punting. So you have to make sure you have two players on either side of the center. You can't have 50 gunners heading down the field. And you also have to report your jersey numbers, letting everyone know who is an offensive lineman and going to be blocking, who's going to be the gunner heading down the field. That way we kind of know how to defend if there's a fake punt or whatever. Yeah, that's kind of the big story. Now, I hear that and think most of it's nonsense. But an unofficial survey conducted by NCAA Division I coaches with responses from special teams coordinators and head coaches provided to USA Today Sports showed a vote of 61-1 of coaches who opposed this new rule. So no one was asking for the rule. No one wanted the rule, but the NCAA instituted the rule. Why? I honestly don't know. I'm not fully sure why they did this. And I'll be honest, I don't really know if it makes sense or not. But I know this. No one, and I mean no one, punts as much as the University of Iowa's head coach, Kirk Ferentz. Now, I'm going to trust Kirk Ferentz's opinion on this, because Kirk Ferentz actually considers a punt to be like a big offensive play in the Iowa offense. Well, Kirk Ferentz is against this. That tells me all I need to know. I don't know why they put this in, but it kind of makes sense for the NCAA when you think about it. You can pay players, transfer all you want to, open transfer portal whenever you want to, sign players, give them whatever they want. Yet your big focus is on the punt rules. Well done, NCAA. You have proven once again to be the most inept entity in all of organized sports. Outstanding work there. You know, we also have a lawsuit in the world of college football. Not sure if you saw this, but at stake, there's a multi-million dollar deal hanging in the balance. You see, back in 2022, now Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby, turns out he was doing a little sports betting. The NCAA learned about it in recent months, and they are investigating the matter. Now, Sorsby admits to betting on a number of things, from Turkish basketball and Romanian soccer games, but he also admits that he did bet on his own team. Now, I've been saying for the past, 5 years, that all this legalized sports betting is going to eventually come home to roost. Well, here is just one example. So the NCAA says they are actually going to go to the mat for this, because you're not allowed to be betting, and you're certainly not allowed to be betting on your own team. Do you have any idea the ramifications of that? You might have inside knowledge. You might actually be shaving points. You're not allowed to do it. So what did Sorsby do? Well, he immediately checked himself into a rehab center and says that he's planning on playing for the Texas Tech Red Raiders this fall. He says he was only betting on his own team as a way of staying connected with the team. Okay. Look, I'm going to be very honest. It will not surprise me one bit if the NCAA loses this lawsuit, because, like I said, they're the dumbest entity in all of sports. And honestly, name the last thing the NCAA did win. Name the last time the NCAA actually showed they might have some teeth. I have no idea. Maybe like 3 years ago against Iowa State's Hunter Deckers, but that feels like forever ago. They've just been losing and losing and losing. Here's the problem. Here's the bad news for Brendan Sorsby. He may skate on this. He probably will. And yesterday, the NCAA denied Sorsby's reinstatement, but Texas Tech said they're going to appeal that decision. So this isn't over. He may get to play this fall in Lubbock and get a run out of the tunnel and participate in college football for Texas Tech. And if he does, he's got to be feeling like a winner in this whole thing. Hey, I went out and gambled, and forget gambling on like NBA games or NFL games or something like that. I'm a degenerate enough. I was gambling on like Turkish horse racing or whatever. Oh, and by the way, I was also gambling on my own team, and I got away with it. Pete Rose ain't got nothing on me. Okay, fine. So he may skate on this. He may get to play. But here is where the system that has been without rule and without law for so long has failed this kid, because the NFL isn't going to touch him. Forget the impropriety of the accusations. Forget that he was gambling on his own team, as improper as that is. That's not the problem. The problem for the NFL teams is that they're going to look at Sorsby and say, this kid clearly doesn't have the common sense to not bet on his own team. He clearly has some sort of brain damage. That alone has to have NFL teams going, yeah, this kid is just too dumb. We can't draft him. He's too stupid. Forget getting caught. It's not about the crime. It's about you were too dumb to not do that. That's like when these kids get popped for drugs. You know when the drug test is. It just tells me you're stupid. Forget the ethics of it. You're just an idiot. Finishing off, speaking of idiots and speaking of no ethics whatsoever, let's finish off today in the world of college basketball. Because I'm telling you right now, kids, you have to hear this one. If you missed it, the LSU Tigers went out and hired head football coach Lane Kiffin this past offseason. Okay, great. We know Lane. Let's just say he glides when he walks. He's a little bit greasy. Then they went out and brought back basketball coach Will Wade. You remember Will Wade, right? He was at LSU for like 5 years. From 2017 to 2022, he won a few games. However, there was a problem. Will Wade was fired amidst a number of recruiting violations. Well, we know that recruiting violations don't exist anymore. You want to back up a truck and just dump cash on a kid's house? Go ahead. So the Tigers brought him back. And you have to see the class that Will Wade has signed. I'm going to say some names. I'm probably going to mispronounce them. I don't care. Here's the names that Will Wade has signed for the LSU basketball team. Yam Madar, an Israeli player that was drafted by the Boston Celtics back in 2020. He played a little summer league ball with the Celtics, but he mostly stayed playing pro ball in Israel. He is now at LSU to play collegiately. Okay. Sailu Niang. Sure, I butchered that. A player from Senegal that was drafted last year by the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has been playing pro ball in Italy. RJ Lewis is a three-time college transfer who went undrafted in last year's draft, but signed a contract with the Utah Jazz. He was then traded to the Boston Celtics and did play for their G League team. Interesting, seeing a trend. Marcio Santos, a EuroLeague player who also went undrafted, but in the 2023 NBA draft, but he played 2023 NBA Summer League ball with the Atlanta Hawks, and he appeared in 5 exhibition games with them. After the Summer League, he went back to a EuroLeague and continued to play professionally. And last but not least, we have Bryce Desert. I'm sure I butchered that as well. A French player who has played 4 seasons of professional basketball in French leagues. Now, what do all of these players have in common, aside from being like in their mid-20s? Well, they have all already played professional basketball. And they are all currently ineligible to play collegiately. LSU and Will Wade are challenging that. They plan on getting all 5 of these guys eligible to play for the coming college basketball season. I'm telling you, Will Wade is making an absolute mockery of college basketball. But hey, if the NCAA allows it, that's just another nail in their coffin. That's just more proof that they're stupid. And we know they're stupid. Here's hoping LSU gets hammered by the NCAA and has a garbage season. But I don't have much faith in that happening. My goodness. Coach Pete from Blue Chips has some questions about Will Wade's ethics. He thinks this is filthy.
What do we give him? What, cars? Tractors? Give a kid a tractor? Another kid we gave a house? Didn't we give him a house? You know, bags of cash? I don't know what we gave these kids. You know, they asked for things. We gave it to them.
I don't know where college sports is heading, but it might not be a very good place if any of these 5 guys get to play. We can just throw all the rules out of the window. It is just a free-for-all. Come play if you want to play. If you're a pro player, swing down, play a few games with your team, and make a few extra bucks. Why not? The NCAA is an absolute sham. The quicker we just get rid of it and just let the conferences govern themselves, the better it would make for a better product. Hey, next week on The Dose, the NBA Finals will be set and the Stanley Cup Finals should be set. And we will be bringing you our preview of what to expect in each. Plus, we'll be keeping you up on all that is going on in the world of sports. So be sure to tune into The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Bags of cash. I don't know what we gave these kids. You know, they asked for things. We gave it to them.